it's not a thought, but this is the kind of thinking. What they do is they set the works as so low, and the price is so low, that they like to think that it's not being reckoned of debt, or not being reckoned as works. So they say, these are the works you have to do. You have to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. You have to come to Jesus. See, He's got His arms stretched out to everybody. His blood, His sacrifice is unlimited. It's called, you know, it covers the sins of everyone. All they have to do is reach out and plug in to Jesus. But they have to reach out. They have to make a decision. They have to choose to love God in their hearts. They have to choose to believe in Jesus. They have to choose to accept and trust in Christ for their own salvation. Those are works. And those works are the basis on which people believe they're going to be saved. Now, they're not very difficult works. I mean, I'm not saying you have to do the works of these are the not the works of the Old Testament law, but they were works of someone's law. Then they're works of a legalistic system. They claim it's not reckoned of debt, but it is reckoned of debt because God owes it to you. When you fulfill those requirements, now He owes you. And that is exactly what they're teaching. It is not the way that God has taught in His scriptures by His apostles. It's not the right way. The purposes of God stand according to election. Not of what man does, but of God who calls. Meaning, this is all flows out from God. The purposes of God are according to election. This chapter is going to really nail that home, and we'll understand. But you're going to say to me, as I say, well, you know, God just picks and chooses? Yeah. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God in that? Some people would say, yeah, but no. This is what He says to Moses. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, or of him that runs, but of God that showeth mercy. It's not according to the will of man. Meaning, my will is, oh, I want to be saved. My will is to be with God. My will is to accept Jesus. My works are to accept Jesus. My works are to trust in Him. My works are this. My works are that. Meaning, Christ died on the cross, but really that sacrifice is powerless until you do something about it. That's the way they preach the gospel. It's not the gospel. That's not good news. That is legalism and works. The way salvation works, it is of God showing mercy on you. He puts faith in you so that you might believe in Christ. But not just a belief that's ineffective or that you think you can trust in your own works. Be they something as small as I believed in a fact. I confessed with my lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believed in my heart that God raised Him to the dead. I did those two works. And that means I'm saved, because it says. But that's according to the letter of the law, the Romans 10 road. I'll tell you what, you got to go through Romans 1 through 9 before you get to Romans 10. See, if He gives you faith, that's mercy right there. Because not all men have faith. Not all men can have faith. A lot of people can't believe in God. A lot of people, really, there are people out there who are atheists and agnostic, and they think it would be cool to believe, but they can't. And coming from a kind of a nearly agnostic background, because there were times in my life where I almost was agnostic. Because I'd look up and I'd say, maybe there's nothing out there, you know? And I know God isn't out there. He's everywhere. He's here. He's there with you. Right? He is everywhere. But yet, you know what I mean? I would look and say, oh, is God up there? I don't know. Right? Well, there are people who would like to have faith. It's just not in them. I've run into people like that. And they've even read to me from Ephesians, you know, that, you know, you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. See, faith is a gift. Not everyone can have faith. And it's not just, and it's just like with Sarah, you know, it's not just any faith. It's got to be the specific faith that he dictates. See, you can't just believe in part of what he's saying. You have to believe the, you know, it can't just be, well, Abraham's going to have a son. So, Abraham, just take Hagar. Have a son with Hagar. There, the God's promise is fulfilled. No, God said Sarah would have a son. And that was the seed of promise. See, the seed of promise is the true seed of God. That is the seed that God has to implant in you. It's of his true promises. The promise of God is not, I'll accept the Lord as my Savior, and I'll live a life of sin, and I'll expect that at the end I'm not going to get death as my wages. That is not the promise that God has ordained. He hasn't promised you. I know this is a promise of God that you can put your faith in. All right? Galatians chapter 5. I'll give you a promise. These are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a promise. If you do those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a promise of God. Okay? And you can count on it. But beloved, we would rather have you believe in the promise of God that says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I will write their laws in their heart. I will write my laws in their hearts, so that we would obey without the law. But that the law would be, as it was written earlier, back in chapter 3 or 4, that the law would be a witness to the righteousness of God which dwells in us. Okay.